WMFO in Medford. You're listening to What's Happening. I'm Aaron. I have the great band Gala here. We'll be back with them in just a moment. Enjoy.
How you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron.
I am Chris.
I'm Emily.
I'm Rebecca.
We are the Gala.
The Gala.
Or the Gala US, however you like to slum it.
We Are Gala Us?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. This international one. So, like, now that we have our records, like, in the UK and Europe, it was recommended to us that we do the Gala US because we're a real American rock and roll band, you know? So, it makes sense. It's also easier to find us on social media that way, too. So, it makes sense. It's very worldly.
We Are Us, yes.
Yes, yes, exactly.
We Are Us.
So, band name.
Yes.
Where did it come from?
I don't know. I think we just wanted like a really cool, discreet way to say that we like to like party hard. And so like Garbage Kale Kids was like kind of like bouncing around. And then we're like, oh, like the Gala would be cool. It'll look cool on a leather jacket. Like, I don't know. It's something graphic about it.
It sounds classic to me too. Classy and classic.
It really does. Yeah. That's a good point.
So let me know, and the listeners know a little bit about each one of you. What you grew up listening to, you know, what made you want to get into music. And I apologize to the listeners. We have the air conditioning on high because
yes,
it is extremely hot outside. But I want to apologize also to our guests because, you know, it doesn't want to sound like we're in a snowstorm or in a refrigerator.
You don't have to lie to them. You can tell them it's my heavy breathing. It's okay. I breathe like Darth Vader. It's all right. You can throw me under the bus. I'm all right with it.
Think of it like a little ASMR.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Ambient sounds. Let them soothe you. Let's do the rest of the interview like that. No, I'm kidding.
Yoga with the Gala. I don't know.
It's not that kind of show.
Do you want to start? You want to start with where you started with music?
Me? Yeah. All right. Well, my first musical memory is listening to Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA.
Yeah.
Being 4 years old and like dancing around in the living room. But that's like my distinct first musical memory, and they listen to like reggae and a lot of acoustic like or folk rock. But then like 1995, like No Doubt, Gwen Stefani, I was 13, so of course it was like, oh, this is, you know, that was sort of like a big, and like she made a big impact on me. And then I don't know, just kind of went snowballed from there. And yeah,
I was 13 20 years before.
It's amazing.
That was long, that, you know, even for me that was long enough ago.
Right, yeah.
So what instrument do you play?
Oh, I sing.
You sing?
Yeah.
So, in school, did you join a band? Did you join the... I mean, I know growing up, everybody has to sing in school. It just was the way things were.
Oh, yeah.
But besides the outside influences, what drove you to music?
I don't know. I feel... It's a just great way to express yourself. I was actually just saying in rehearsal the other day, I'm like, in what other instance is it like perfectly acceptable for a grown adult to just scream, you know, at the top of your lungs? And it's like not only acceptable, but it's welcomed, it's applauded. I'm thinking,
you know,
I'm really lucky that I get to do that.
It's true.
Let's see. During any political election and at any sporting event that we're winning, or not, you know.
Well, there's the, yeah,
that's,
but.
Yeah, it's different though.
It's like, different.
But when it's.
But like by yourself. Yeah, like to do, like scream completely independently without, not like in a group of people, but just by yourself.
Watching The Shining.
There you go, right?
Good old Red Rum. But the irony is about that. Of course, Jack Nicholson was in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was
right.
The lead character in that movie and actor. And his movie is coming to the Regent Theater in Arlington next Friday night.
Oh, no kidding.
With one of the actors, musicians who was in that movie. The movie is called Head the Monkees.
That's awesome.
And Mickey Dolenz will be there. So...
Can't go wrong with the Monkees.
You know, there was no screaming there.
Hmm. Right. Well, screaming music. For joy.
They were screaming for Valerie, not for joy.
There you go.
I feel like when I'm screaming, it is kind of like a tantrum, though.
No.
It's sort of like a child having a tantrum.
But
it makes sense, though.
It makes you feel better.
It's fun, yeah.
There's something primal about it. It's like a primal release. Like, I feel like there's a lot of bands that are, like, somewhat, like, scripted. And, like, we'll have, like, a rough idea of, like, what songs we're doing and stuff like that. But it's really, like, a primal interaction with the audience. And they get something specific each time. And I think there's something magic to it, you know? It's like we pour our heart and, you know, into it. So it makes sense that you want that visceral reaction, you know?
So... Who would like to go next?
I'll go. I started out...
Don't stand on a ledge. No, I'm just kidding.
I started out listening to, like, a combination of, like, what my parents listened to. So, like, my dad would listen to, like, totally, like, iRock rock. And then, like, my mom would listen to, like, a lot of 80s pop. And, you know, like, they had, like, Beatles records. Like, my dad had... He had Abbey Road, and like he had Beach Boys and stuff, and so listened to a lot of that. Once I started getting into my own music, it's probably like a combination of like right around the same time I discovered like Black Sabbath, and I was like, and like the Ramones, and I'm like, oh, well, what is this? Like, totally changed my life. And then it's also the time you start like searching through like radio channels, you know. It was the first time I found like doo-wop stations, you know, and like 50s and 60s doo-wop, like 103.3 nonstop in Boston played like 24-hour doo-wop. Like, it was amazing. I would go between that and Black Sabbath.
I got a great show that I'll tell you about after that does doo-wop almost every single weekend.
Love it. I eat that up. I feel like it shows too. Like,
it's at the other station that I'm at, so.
Oh, cross pollination. We don't want to offend anyone here.
That's okay, because my show over there is called What's Happening too.
Oh,
so it's called What's Happening. So it's,
oh, then it's all happening. It's all love then. Yeah, okay.
Not offending anybody because I'd be offending myself.
Right. Just no, like, that makes
just
sense.
Like, just like you screaming, you know. I mean,
yeah.
So yeah, I feel like a big part of that is like in this. You can hear it in our songwriting. It's like there's definitely like this like garage influence, and there's this classic doo-wop influence, but there's definitely like an edge to it. There's definitely like a little bit barbed quality.
Well, actually, while we were in the green room, a new phrase was coined for the band. What type of music do you play?
Hodgepodge garage.
I think that's pretty fitting. I think that's accurate.
Because it's not just like straight up one thing. I feel like you can't just classify it and just say, oh, we're just straight up garage rock.
Right. Because if you say garage rock, people think that like they automatically think about like blowing dust off of a record. You know what I mean? And then when you think of punk, they think of like a certain snotty attitude or a certain modern aesthetic.
It almost sounds like, and I can see this, that each one of the members of the band, because there are two other members that are not here today because they're on assignment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could see doing an album cover for a song related to Hodgepodge Garage of the five of you standing over this giant blender with instruments and different types of music with different, you know, whether it's doo-wop or whether it's, you know, whatever you listen to, and throwing it into this giant blender, and out comes one of your albums.
Love it. Yeah. That's spot on.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's a lot of crossover with us, which is how we all, you know, end up meshing, but there's definitely, like, certain inputs, you know, and I think that's where the magic is, you know? It's like any one of us could easily write an album front to back, but it's what the other people bring that really makes it shine.
And what instrument do you play?
I play guitar. guitar and tambourines and shakers. So when you hear tambourines and shakers, those are all me.
We've got the essence of Davy Jones.
Oh yeah. Total peacock style over here.
Good old Mr. Tambourine Man.
You got it. You know, there's something classic about it, you know? I'm a sucker for just a good vibe, you know?
Also clapping.
Clapping. Clapping's a great one. Simple things. Like, I feel like there's a lot of bands that, like, they'll use, like, a lot of samples and stuff, and that's cool, or, like, sequencing and stuff. I'm like, bring it back to basics, you know? I write rock reviews along with this, and one of the most fatiguing things is trying to figure out something. If I just effortlessly can either listen to it or not understand it, I love it a lot more.
Where do you do your reviews?
I do reviews for Melted Magazine, Bananas Magazine, and also Boston Hassle. So, awesome places, dynamite places. You guys are the best. So, I just did a bunch of them for, the most recent one is Bananas Magazine. I did Suicide Generation, Fast Waltz. I did an interview with Archie and the Bunkers. Awesome albums and huge bands right now, so it's really exciting.
So one of their tracks is Maud, huh?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you got it, man.
And you?
So I play organ for this band. Growing up, I listened to a lot of the Beatles and Fleetwood Mac. My mom was really into folksy, hippie stuff. I came to what I would say to discover really good music later in life, and really got inspired by people like Cherry Wainer to really rock out with the organ sounds. I played piano growing up, Chris and I messed around in a previous band with more synthy tones, but wanted to keep it back to the, more of organ tones for this band.
Describe it the way you did to me last night.
What?
How you play.
Oh yeah. I was just saying that I don't do a lot of finesse parts. I'm not over here playing Beethoven or anything. It's more just banging around on.
But could you?
No. I could if I tried it. I grew up playing piano. If I practiced up a bit, I could play some nice classical pieces. I have
more like Mozart and Chopin, you know, with the big.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't focus on that so much these days. Especially so I play a combo organ, a farfisa, and it's got such a crazy tone that it gets lost if you do too much. It sounds, all you really have to do is hold a chord and it sounds awesome. It's got the multi-tone booster on the farfisa, and it's just sparkly enough that you just play a chord and it sounds crazy.
So if you went to a sporting event.
Yeah.
Okay. Because sporting events in Boston used to be different. And, you know, now they will play music that I wouldn't listen to.
Right.
Yeah.
But way back when, we had a great organist at Fenway Park and at the Boston Garden.
Oh, yeah?
John Kiley. And he used to play unbelievable music. Have you ever heard him play?
No, I haven't.
You can probably go on to YouTube and hear him. But it's like hearing the organ is, you know, you have many different, some of the, like the old organs, because it was, you know, with his feet and everything else. I mean, this was, getting the sounds out of that.
I remember it from, like, the Garden and stuff, like Bruins games. Yeah. It's like there's something powerful about it, you know, more so than, like, a throbbing bass beat or something.
Well,
it's
because
like,
if you're bringing in somebody else's music, it's not inspiring the crowd.
Yeah.
So how do you go about creating your music and then inspiring the crowd?
Yeah. I think it's tangibility. I think, to me, it's like getting along to that. It's like, you could play something pre-recorded and you could dance really cool in front of it, and I'm sure you could sing spot on in front of it, but there's something about people reacting to you deciding to crawl on your amp and, you know, grind up against it or whatever. It's like, it's the little decisions of when you decide to go off course and or when you decide to do things your own way. It really makes who you are. You know, no one's going and like searching out like the Gala because they're like, oh, well, like I want something easy to listen to, or I want something that's going to be like pop friendly. It's like you're coming and listening to the Gala because you want the best. It's like there's something that we do better than other bands, and that's our authenticity, and that's our skill, you know. And there's something that if you want that package and you want that intensity, there's nowhere else to go.
Well, one thing we were discussing outside was that the band is soul-sustaining with each member being a part of everything you do.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So does everybody do the writing?
Oh yeah, oh for sure.
Music and lyrics?
Lyrics are pretty much Emily. That the melodies and lyrics are Emily's department, and that's kind of how it is for all the instruments. Like, we all input, but we all input as far as like our instrument, you know. So like, if most people wouldn't even realize, but like a lot of our songs begin with different people, you know. But it's what we each bring to it that makes it sound cohesive. So there's some songs that, you know, it might happen to be organ heavy. So, you know, that's probably a Rebecca song, or it's a bass heavy song, or that's probably like a Justin song. But it's what other people bring to it that make it that certain quality. So, you know, in our own right, you know, we've written lyrics for other bands and stuff, but Emily is the singer because she's the best. So, you know, who's going to come up? So who's going to do it better than her, you know? So I think that that's kind of how we work, and that's kind of how we work best. And we've stumbled upon so much material, and like we write in such an efficient way now that we never could have before. And it's only until we finally all pointed ourselves in the same direction and just let each other do our thing.
How do you go about doing the writing? Is it from experiences you've had? Is it from other people's experiences, or is some of it fantasy?
Oh, it's very autobiographical. I used to try, in the past, I like try to, you know, delve into some other things, and I've been told that, you know, you do you best. So I just write about whatever's going on, or say, you know, well, they'll be working on the music for a song at rehearsal, and I think, you know, it just inspires me to think, oh, I want to write about this, that, or the other thing. Like he had, we had a song with a working title called Goon, and I had, and I thought I used that as the inspiration. I had an interesting ride in a Lyft with a very drunk girl. so I just used that. I'm like, this is a really funny story. I'll turn it into a song, or maybe he'll play it, like that's sort of like a sad song. And I just think, you know, whatever it makes me feel, I'll kind of use that and take that feeling based on whatever's going on in my life, and just put pen to paper, or voice note, I should say. Like I talk to my phone a lot. So
if you see her riding around on her bike
with two phones,
singing or screaming into her phone,
yeah that's how that happens.
I think people would be really surprised about how much, like, we're crazy and stuff, but like there is a lot of focused songwriting. Like there is an incredible amount of focus when it comes to the songwriting, more so than with any other part of it. I feel like it shows, because the songs are really good, and it's gone to this point that there's no filler, you know. It's just like really great songwriting, and along with the lyrics and melodies, like what Emily is really great for is picking out what songs are the keepers, you know. Like Todd is really good for that too, and Todd's good at like structures of the songs as well, but Emily's the one that it's like if you give her 8 songs that you have ideas for, she'll pick out the ones that have like the shine to them. She's like, these ones, and like right away she'll start working on them, and then you know it's like, okay, those are going to be the really good ones.
So I know you've got a bunch of shows coming up.
Yes.
Where can people find out about the band?
All right. Well, they can find out about the band at The Gala US, our website, or you could just type in The Gala US into Google and go to any of our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We have a show coming up Friday the 13th at Opus in Salem. They are the coolest there. It's going to get weird. It's put it on. We're playing with our Frantic Endeavor. It's going to be a packed show. The next week after that, we're doing Matthew's Tavern up in Portland, Maine. We're doing that with the Gamaguchis on the 21st. So that's going to be an absolutely sick show, too. And then we're back in Boston on August 4th. August 4th, and that's going to be at Sally O'Brien's with our buddies Muck and the Myers.
And this Wednesday, July 4th.
Oh, and sorry, this Wednesday, July 4th, we're going to be on the Heavy Leather Topless Dance Party 4th of July special. So we busted out a bunch of new songs, so there's a bunch of stuff that people haven't even heard yet. So
I can, you're going to be playing Opus on Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
I just see this giant penguin with a sickle.
Yeah, there you go. You got it, man. I think that's how we started the band. We're like, giant penguin with sickle.
That sounds about right.
Makes sense. Yes.
Although you're always on your bicycle, so I guess a little safer.
Could be. It could be. Not the way she rides.
Yeah.
You know. She sets the tires on fire.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Totally. Totally.
So, who else is in the band?
We have Justin Pirelli, bassist extraordinaire. And we have Todd Sampson, drummer, animal. Yeah. Great dudes. We love them.
Did you name him Animal after Animal?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the dude's a savage, you know what I mean? But
well, because Animal from...
Muppet.
Yeah.
Yeah, was...
Dynamite. Drummer. Yeah, I think he's pretty spot on with that, you know? He's a pretty out of control drummer, so we saw him, you know, show off his powerhouse skills, and we're like, "All right, I think you're cut from the same cloth as us."
And they can get your music there too.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, we're all over the place. You can also stop by Deadbeat Records too and pick up some of our limited edition 7-inches. We have some of our 7-inches here, but there are some other ones you can stop by Deadbeat Records and get the limited edition ones. Fancy.
For, of whatever's left.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Touch Me special editions are sold out, but there's still ones of the November single, which is our first one. So, shout out to Tom from Deadbeat. He's the man.
That reminds me of Rocker Horror Picture Show.
Yeah! Huge influence on us, obviously.
I mean, that was quite a show in and of itself.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding? It's like a massive influence on us.
Justin and I used to be in a band. We did a cover of the Time Warp, a punk rock version of it.
Yeah, that's a great version of it too.
Good times.
Yeah, that's how we met.
That's how we met, Charlie's Kitchen.
Charlie's Kitchen on a Monday night. Any band today that's throwing crap at doing a Monday night at Charlie's, it's like, that's how you start. That's how we met. We were in different bands and, our bands played together, and then it was like, what, 11 years ago, something like that?
Not quite that long, but almost.
Well, see, that's the important thing that we emphasize a lot on the shows.
Not right.
Is going to other shows that you may have and staying to listen to the other bands.
Yeah.
Because you never know who you're going to meet, collaborate with, or end up doing in a band together.
Oh, for sure. Also, too, it's like if you bounce out and you're not there, it's like you look like a clown anyways, you know?
Well, I mean, if you have another gig after your gig and you're, you know, doing 3 gigs that night, okay, that's cool. That means, but make sure you meet the other people first and say, hey, I'll be back. And actually come back and see them perform.
Oh, there's a couple bands in town that are like, you know, every time you play with them, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, the rest of the band had tummy aches and had to go pick up their kids at the tummy ache festival.
No pay for you.
Yeah, exactly. I won't throw them under the bus, but I know you.
No, these two especially are always there all night, all day and all night.
And what's also cool is they're doing Facebook Live.
Oh, yeah. Hey, interweb people. They like that. The internet, the AI loves that.
I see some bubbles there.
Yeah, just things are happening. So we got some people tuning in.
Let me do this. And we'll come back.
Sounds good.
See if we can hear some of your music.
Awesome.
Woo! Fancy.
In 1 minute. Let's see.
Yeah.
Headlight midnight, catch you on a rainy night. Steep grade up ahead, slow me down, making no time. Gotta keep rolling. Well, the windshield wipers slapping out a tempo, keeping perfect rhythm with the song on the radio. I gotta keep rolling. Ooh, I'm driving my life away, looking for a better way for me. Way, looking for a sunny day. Well, the truck stopped cutie coming on to me. Try to talk me into a ride, said I wouldn't be sorry. She was just a baby. Well, waitress, pour me another cup of coffee. Pop it down, jack me out, send me out flying down the highway. Looking for the morning. Ooh, I'm driving my life away. Looking for a better way for me. For a sunny day. Slow me down, making no time. Gotta keep rolling. Well, the windshield wipers slapping out a tempo, keeping perfect rhythm with the song on the radio. I gotta keep rolling. Ooh, I'm driving my life away, looking for a better way for me. Way, looking for a sunny day. Ooh, I'm driving my life away, looking for a better way. We'll be right back.
Ba-ba. Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron.
I'm Chris.
And we are the Gala.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
So we heard two of your tracks.
Yes.
What brought you to November, you faker?
Oh. Emily, you tell me.
Old stories that nobody wants to talk. I don't want to talk about it.
That's Emily's thing. She doesn't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it. That's what I tell
talk
my
about
mom.
Faker.
Yeah. Faker.
Faker is more relatable. That is basically, that's sort of like everybody's got an inner monologue, and then there's sort of like, you know, your like logical side, and then, you know, the irrational side, and, you know, them going at it, and like, who's, you know, what's real and what's fake, you know? And, you know, is it like the angel or the devil? And, you know, that's what that
reminds me of. A line from a Beatles song. I am me as you are he as we are all together.
There you go. We've been compared a lot to the Beatles.
Said not? No one ever. No, I'm kidding.
Right, yeah.
So I guess you're Sean Lennon, right? No.
Yeah. We're like six Ringos. It's all Octopus's Garden here.
But he is at, I think he's 77 now and still performing.
That's incredible. Oh my gosh.
You know,
I hope at that point I don't have to perform anymore. These high heel boots kill me already.
He's a fan of Kiss.
Oh yeah. Kiss, it's a great radio station. I love it.
Yeah. It's from Kissimmee, St. Cloud. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Kiss had a few big hits and they still sell out.
You know what's funny? Never been a big fan of Kiss. I owned one Kiss album. Like, I had a lot of, like, I had like Black Sabbath albums and stuff, and I had a lot of friends that were like, oh, like, you gotta get Destroyer, you gotta get like Kiss Alive, and I'm like, wow, like, they're spewing blood and stuff. I'm like, I'm missing out. And then I got it and I'm like wow, what a disappointment. I'm like,
well, they had a few big hits when I was much younger.
Yeah,
Beth, and, you know,
totally
Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day.
Yeah, I gotta say that
it was every other day.
Right, like, but, like the Kiss. Like, I totally like dig the image of it, but like, to me, like 70s Aerosmith was like way more influential. Like, that was like real deal.
But
rock
see,
and
that
roll.
Was local.
Yeah, but like Boston does most things better.
That's true. Well, you bring some things from California because it normally goes that way, and then it ends up going back.
Yeah.
But as we tell people all the time that about going out and seeing local bands, because local bands can never become national unless they're heard.
Totally.
And you can't say, I love a band if you don't hear their music. Or you can't say, I don't like a band if you don't hear their music.
Absolutely.
So you wouldn't have known whether you liked Kiss or didn't like Kiss if you didn't hear their music.
True. We did get a chance to, we saw Kiss live. Yeah. We got tickets, we got some free tickets to go see Kiss back in 2012, I think. Yeah. They put on a great show. I will tell you, that I don't think that I've knocked back more silver bullets than that night. Like, oh my God, we were werewolf hunting with all the core silver bullets that were flying around. Well, but I will say,
where were you, in London?
No.
Oh, but, no, you were from New Hampshire. You might have been in New London.
Yeah, well, that,
the werewolves of New London, yeah.
It was in Manchester. It was in that dump. But we went, and they put on a great show. Yeah. Like, you know, there's a lot of, like, bands that go through the motions, and there was a lot of entertainment at that show.
But see, it's, if you're going to do it right, it has to be Sweet Emotion.
There you go.
Bringing it back to Aerosmith.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with some good Aerosmith.
Wow.
Well, I mean, like, good anything Aerosmith from, like, the 80s on, like, yeah, like, bah, 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 like, obviously. But, like, 70s Aerosmith, that's the best.
Well, I mean, they hung out, you know, a couple towns over.
Yeah.
Them and many of the other bands and, you know, great entertainment out of Boston.
Yeah. That's a cool thing. And I feel like there's a lot of people that don't realize the rich rock and roll history of Boston. It gets understated because you don't think of them as being regional. Like, no one thinks of, like, the Cars or, like, Modern Lovers as being, like, a particular Boston band if you know them outside Boston.
But Jay Giles.
Totally. Pixies. Like.
Oh, what's his name? Wahlberg's brother's band.
Oh, Marky Mark.
Marky Mark, but dude, also the other band.
Dude, Bobby Brown. Dude, we gave Bobby Brown a platform, man. We take claim. Boston has Bobby Brown, okay? You have nothing, man. Bobby Brown's a maniac, man. It's like, who else has Coke Rocks falling out of their pockets at the VMAs? Video Music Awards. It's like... Well,
but do you know the most important thing Boston had with entertainment?
What was that?
Over all the many years. No show... If it can't be performed in Boston, and this is a Broadway show, if it can't make it from Boston to be seen and heard, it does not ever show up in New York.
That's true.
And that's the cool thing about it, because our opinions really count and matter.
Oh, yeah. There's also, Boston has a saltiness to it. Like, you know, New York has its own saltiness, but there's like a Boston... quality that it's like, if you are going to be good, it's like, you can't just be good. You have to, like, know you're good, or else you're going to just get eaten up in this city.
Let everybody know where they can find the band again.
You can find us at thegala.us. That's our website. You can find us on Bandcamp. You can find us on SoundCloud. You can find us on YouTube. Just type in thegala.us. You can find all that good stuff. You can find us on Instagram. We're on the moon. We're on Mars. We're in your psyche. So you can find us at a ton of places. And also on Spotify and iTunes and all that good stuff. And stop by Deadbeat Records, too, because it's still a couple of our first limited edition. So available.
And what we're going to do is let everybody hear as we go out. Go between the lines.
Yeah.
Bye, Gala. Enjoy. And thank you for coming in and giving us... the great music and your stories, and we will have you back in again with the full band sometime soon to play.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having us.
Absolutely, our pleasure.